Tonight's here, Parshas Noach, brought to you by the Weinblatt family, Ramat Beit Shemesh, Lilui Nishmas, Yaakov Yitzchak Ben Chaim. The first pasuk in the Sedra, Ella told us, Noach, Noach, Ish Tzadik Tamim Haya Bedora, Saves Alokim Misalech Noach. Chasam Sofer points out that Avram Avinu, Noach lived, says in Pirkei Avos, in fact, that from Adam Arisha until Noach, there was 10 generations, they're angering Hashem, and then he brought the Mabul, and then after that, from Noach to Avram, there's another 10 generations, which again, they're machisim ubayim, and we know that Avraham Avinu was 58 years old at the time when Noach was Nifter. So, Al Pi Remes, we can read the pasuk as follows. Elu toldos Noach. These are the toldos of Noach. Now Noach, he didn't have wonderful toldos, right? Because we said after the Mabul, machisim ubayim until Avraham Avinu. So what were his toldos? Nothing too much until Noach eats tzadik. Noach is 58. So that's a remez to Avraham Avinu, who was 58 years old, we said, when Noach was Nifter. So Noach Ish Tzadik, first Avraham Avinu. Ish Tzadik, that was Avraham. It was Noach, who was 58 years old when Noach was Nifter. As it says, Es Elokim Yiselech Noach. At that point, that was when Noach went to Olam Haba. Es Elokim Yiselech Noach. He went to Elokim, he went to Olam Haba. So, didn't have much of a life. And because he was Nifter when Avraham Avinu, Noach was 58 years old, Es Elokim Yiselech Noach. The pasuk says that Tishachetz Haaretz Lifnei Elokim, Atimalei Haaretz Chamas. There was Chamas. What's Chamas? The Gemara says in Bava Kama, it's actually a machloikis. One pshat is in Chamas that you force a person to sell something. You pay him for it, you force him as Chamas. Another Deya says that Hamas is if you steal less than the Shavah Pruta. So the Midrash brings down that the generation of Noach, they were so bad because the Aris was filled with Hamas, meaning that, what would they do? They'd go to some store and I would walk in and he would steal less than the Shavah Pruta. So Maisi can't take him to Din, it's less than the Shavah Pruta, it's not considered really Gzela. Okay, so big deal. It's only less than Shavah Pruta. Then another guy would come in and also steal less than Shavah Pruta. Another guy less than Shavah Pruta. Another guy, 1,000 people come in, steal less than Shavah Pruta. The guy has nothing left. Yeah, you can't take anybody to Din because each one took less than Shavah Pruta. And that's how they used to destroy people. So they ask, well, okay, that's very nice, but all those people that did that, okay, but what about the storekeeper? Why should he be killed in the Mabul? I mean, he was stolen from. What did he do wrong? So they say, because he stole less than Shavah Pruta from other storekeepers. Everybody was bad. So they bring the Ben Ish Chai, makes a nice mashal. He says there was once a guy that was caught for Gneva, for stealing. And he was brought to the king, and the punishment was the death penalty. Okay, so he said, that's it, you're punishable by death. So he was brought to be killed, to be hung, and he said, listen, before you kill me, I have one last request. So the king says, what is that? He says, listen, he says, okay, you're going to kill me now, but before you kill me, you see, I have an invention that I discovered, and I never let it be known to the world. And if I die now, it'll go down with me to the grave, and nobody will ever find out about it. And I'd like to, people should chaval, people should know, what I discovered. So the king says, well, what exactly are you talking about? He says, well, you see, I take this certain seed, and then I treat it with all types of different herbs and things, and I cook it up or whatever, a certain way. And then, after it's treated, you plant it in the ground, and within minutes, in front of your eyes, it grows, and it bears fruit, in a matter of minutes. And it's an unbelievable thing. And, here I am, nobody's going to know about it, nobody's going to know how to do it, because I'm the only one that can do such a thing. So, I think it's important, I teach people how to do it, whatever. So the king says, really? Yeah? He says, yeah. So he says, can you do it? And he says, yeah, sure. So he takes some seeds, he orders, tells him exactly what herbs and things to give him, he does, he cooks it up, blah, 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 whatever. He takes the seed, and he says, oh yeah, but before, one thing I didn't mention. He says, what's that? He says, there's a condition. This, it works, you plant it, it grows instantaneously, but the condition is, it only works if the person who plants it was somebody that was never over on Gneva in his life. He never ever stole anything. Then it works. Otherwise, if somebody ever in his life stole anything, it doesn't work. So he said, I'd love to plant it, but show you, but I can't, because you caught me for Gneva. It's obviously not going to work anyway. So he turns to the Mishneh LeMelech, the second in command to the king, and he says, maybe you'd like to plant it. So he's like, the truth of the matter is, I remember when I was a little kid, I once stole the marble, from my friend, So he says, okay, fine. So he turns to the minister of finance, he says, okay, would you like to plant it? So, I deal with money all the time, and it's hard for me, that I can never steal anything, and it's difficult for me. So fine, he goes to the Minister of Education. What about you? Well, so finally, he turns to the king. He says, okay, Michvodo v'atzmo, king, maybe you'd like to plant it. Well, when I was a kid, my mother had this, necklace of pearls, and truth is, I stole it when I was a kid, whatever. The kids, there was nobody there. So he turned to the king, and everybody said, listen, nobody here can plant the seed. Why? Because everybody here stole. Everybody here has stolen, and I'm Dafka, you're hanging me. So Mele says the same thing. Yeah, this poor storekeeper, he was stolen from Lesnar Shabaruta, but he himself was a gun up, and himself used to steal things, and therefore the marble was for everybody. There's a joke, they say, that there was once a chazan that was, he wasn't a firm guy, but he had a good voice, so he used to be the chazan. So he gets up to daven on Shmini Atzeres, Simchas Torah, whatever, and he Tefilas Geshem. So he has a beautiful rendition of Tefilas Geshem, and no sooner than he finishes the last words, thunder, lightning, it starts pouring rain. So he's all proud of himself, goes up to the rabbi and says, Rabbi, you see this? You see what an impression, my tefillah's made? Look, it's pouring rain after my tefillah's geshem. So the rabbi said, listen, it was because of people like you, there was also a mobble in the world, and not only geshem. So don't get too excited. Okay. Says that the teva, Hashem told Noach, "V'chafarta osam ibayis u'michutz b'kofer." So he had to put pitch or tar or whatever on the inside or the outside. Simple pshat is to keep the waters out, right? It's like an insulation against water. The tar. Fine. So find interesting thing though that we are told by Chazal that the teva that was made for Moshe Rabbeinu when he was put in as a baby, into the Nile. It's also was like a little, teva, whatever, ark, right? But it had, and it was also had tar on it, except it only had tar on the outside, not tar on the inside. Why? Because the tar smells pretty bad. And it was not the roi that Moshe Rabbeinu, the tzaddik, should have to smell the bad smell. So therefore, the tar was only put on the outside. So Rav Yonasan Aibishitz points out, he says, if that's the case, so what, Noach is tzaddik tamim haya, so why, how come he had tar on the inside anyhow? Why didn't he have tar on, he should have had tar also on the outside. Why do you have it on the inside if it smells so bad? So he makes interesting observation. He says that, kadena chanami, he says the whole idea of the teva, teva's Noach, was actually a punishment for Noach. Meaning, he said, what, this is the only way Hashem had that he could save Noah from the flood. He could have done all kinds of things in a more pleasant way. So he said, by putting him in this boat for a year, that was like putting him into prison. You know, you're imprisoned in this thing, nowhere, you know, you're stuck in this little boat, big boat or whatever, with all these animals and everything, feeding them every day or whatever. And he said that, he says it was a punishment. Why was he punished? Because he wasn't mochiach his door enough. You know, okay, he built the ark, that one's going to be a mumble, but he didn't put enough effort into to rebuking his generation. As a result, he was a little bit responsible for the flood himself, and therefore he had to be punished. His punishment was, he was like in jail for a year. So the ark was like a jail, and that's why it answers the question, why was there pitch on the inside also? It smells, okay, Magilo, he deserves it, right? He's in jail, so he doesn't have the greatest conditions. It's bad smell, it's all part of the punishment. And he points out also, it's Lashon, it says, V'chafarta osami b'ayis mechuz. Lashon, kafarta means like the pitch, the tar. But it also is the same root as kofir, as like in a kapara, right? So this was all part of this kapara. You had to be in the ship, you had to have the smell of the kofir, of the tar on the inside. It's all part of his kapara. So also the Yomos and Ibishas. Okay, Hashem told Noach, Tzohar Taseh L'teva. It's famous Machloikis, Rashi brings down, what is this Tzohar? So one opinion, says Rashi, is that it was a window, that he made a window to towards the outside, and others say that it was an Evan Tova, it was like a jewel that gave light. So interesting pshat from the Minchas Sofer. And he wants to betola this machloikis of whether it was a window or a jewel on the other famous machloikis Rashi bring down at the beginning of the first pasuk, right? East tamik tzadik tamim hayabador osaf. Right? So we're familiar with the famous machloikis. Rashi says, what does it mean that Noach was east tzadik tamim bedor osaf in his generation? So some say, dorshim l'shvach. Say it as a praise to Noach. In his terrible generation, he was a tzaddik. Even though he was such a terrible generation, but even in a generation of tzaddikim, he'd be even a greater tzaddik. Whereas others are dorshim liganai. They say, no, in his generation, compared to the people there, he was a tzaddik. But if he would have been a generation of Avraham Avinu, he would be considered like nothing. Dorshim liganai. Okay. One other nekuda, and we'll go back. Lot, later on, when he was in Sodom, and he was saved from the destruction of Sodom, he was told that he has to run away and he can't look back. Why was he not allowed to? He's not allowed to look back and look at the destruction of the people. Why? So we're told that if Lot would have been saved on his own merit, then he would be allowed. A person saved on his own merit, because he himself is a tzaddik, so he's allowed to look and see the destruction of others. But he himself doesn't really deserve to be saved. He's only saved because of the schus of others, so then he has no right to look at the destruction. Mela, put the two together. Now we have an interesting pshat in the Tzohar. And that is, if we say Dorshim L'Shvach, that Noach was an intrinsic tzaddik in his own right, so Mela, he would be able to look at the destruction. We said somebody himself is a tzaddik, he himself is a tzaddik. He's not in the schus of others. He's saved. He's saved in his own merit. So Mela, he's allowed to see destruction. So that's the opinion. It says that a Torah was a window. So you're allowed to look out, right? Because you're allowed to look at destruction. He himself is a tzaddik intrinsically. However, according to the ones that are Dorshim L'Ganai, so since he wasn't really a tzaddik on his own right, as you know, yachasit, yahuz, whatever, as a result, he was not allowed to look out at the destruction. But Mele, it wasn't really a window, it was only an Evan Tova that gave light, because he wasn't allowed to look outside. Because he himself was not deserved to see what was going on, since he wasn't saved on his own merit. Well, according to those, they're Darish Liganai. It's interesting, I was thinking, learning a couple of days ago with one of my children, the Parsha, and later on, in the after the flood, the Pasuk says, V'yom v'layla lo yushposu, that Hashem promised that after the flood, that there's never going to be a stop of day and night. So Rashi says, Michlal sheshavtu kol yomos hach amabul. Fact that Hashem said, now there's going to be no more stopping of day and night. says Rashi Mashma, that during the Mabul, it did stop. Okay, Shelo Shimshu HaMazalot, the Mazalas were not in action, were not working then. Velo Nikar Ben Yom Uvein Laila. And you couldn't tell the difference between day and night. In Lo Nikar Ben Yom Uvein Laila. Adkan Lashon Rashi. So, my daughter asked me, she said, so what was it? It was not day or night, so was it, you know, there's no difference between day and night, so what was it? Was it always day or always that night? Right? That there's no, it couldn't say it was not nicker between day and night, so what was it? Was it always day or was it always night? There was no difference, but what was it? So, I was thinking to answer her question, also based on this Tal and this Machlokes. Right? According to the opinion, it says that a tzar was a window. So that opinion would say it was always day. Since it was always day, so there's what to need a window for, you know, open the, you look outside the window. But according to the Mandamar, it says Evan Tova means it was the one that it held. That opinion held it was always night. It was always night. It was always dark. That's what we need a window for. Nothing to see. It's dark the whole time. So therefore, you need a Dafkan Evan Tova to give light. Because there's no light coming in from the outside. It's dark the whole time. Could be. Okay. Pasuk says, just before Noach went into the Teva, it says, Vahi Geshem al Aretz, Arbim Yom Yilayla, Be'etzem Yom Hazeh, Ba Noach, V'Shem Echam V'Yefes B'nei Noach, V'Eishes Noach, V'Shloshes V'Neshei Noach, Itam El Teva. Be'etzem Yom Hazeh, on that day, they went into the Teva. So Rashi says, that the people, l'midcha katzuv shaya b'nei doro omrim, the people of the generation were saying, ilu anu ro'im oson nichnas l'teva, so they were saying before this, if they said, we see him go into that teva, anu shorim osa, we're going to smash that teva, v'horgim oso, we're going to kill that Noah. So Amar Kodesh Baruch Hu, oh yeah, anig machnitzo le'inei kulam, v'nired davar miyakum. Therefore, it's be'etzma yom, it's the middle of the day. Why? Because Hashem wanted to show, yeah, you think you're going to destroy the teva, kill Noah? Yeah, okay, let's see. So Hashem, you know, made a miracle, and he was able to go in, nobody was able to touch him. So, see an interesting thing, says the Rebbe Mir Ozerov. He says that, you know, the people were like, you know, laughing at him. You know, here he's making this teva for Rashi's 120 years, whatever. And they're scoffing, you know, yeah, Mabul, sure, it's me a Mabul. And then all of a sudden, he was right. He was right. So, you know, well, what do they care? Why do they have to kill him? Well, he was right. He was right. So, he says, we see from here that a person, let's say, will is willing to admit he's wrong. He says, fine, I was wrong. You know, you're right. Mabul, whatever it might be. And a person might be even willing to die, you know, if he realizes he was wrong. Okay, I deserve it, you know. But, he says, if I'm not in the Yesek, you're also not in the Yesek. In other words, that a person himself will be wrong, fine. But if I'm wrong, and you're right that not, you're coming down with me. And that was the people, right? That was their attitude. Okay, they said, you see, you were wrong. He was right. There's a Mabul. He said it was going to be Mabul. Here's a Mabul. Here's raining. So let him alone. No, fine. He's right, but if I'm going down, he's going down with me. That's the type of a human being. And they say also the remnants of this in the pasuk says Mia Isha She'er Asisha, when the Klal Yisrael goes to war. So it says the person that gets engaged and get married, he goes back from the front line. So the lashon is Yelech VeYashov LiVeisoy Pen Yamus BaMilchama VeYishacher Yekachena. Why does he go back from the front lines? Lest he be killed in the war, and somebody else take his wife. Meaning, that he gets killed in the war, oh, okay, I'm willing to die. But somebody else is going to take my wife? Oh, that, forget. No way. No way. So that's why we send him back. He's willing to die. No problem. But somebody else? No. That not. Okay. It says that Noah sent a Yonah out from the Teva. V'nei ale zayis tarf v'fia v'yeda Noach ki kalu hamayim me'al aretz. So came back with this leaf of the olive tree, and that was a sign to Noach that the waters had subsided. So there's an opinion in Chazal that where did this Yonah find this ale zayit? It came from Gan Eden. There's an opinion like that, that he plucked the leaf from Gan Eden. So the Ramban doesn't like that. You know, he asks at least on this opinion. He says, how could that be? Why? Because we know that the Mabul didn't affect Gan Eden. So if the Mabul didn't affect Gan Eden, so what raya was it to Noah that the waters have subsided? It brought a leaf from Gaden Shkoyach. And not so brutal. It could be that the waters are still there, there's still a flood, and he got it from Gaden because there was a flood that didn't affect Gan Eden. Right? So he answers, perhaps, he says, that the waters didn't affect Gan Eden, but that's because the gates of Gan Eden were closed. In other words, there's no exit or entering Gan Eden during the flood. And since the doors were closed, therefore the waters couldn't get into Gan Eden, and that's why there was no flood. Okay. Therefore, the Yonah, could, if there was still a flood, he wouldn't be able to get the leaf from Gan Eden either, because the doors are closed. The fact that it brought the leaf, that's a sign that the doors are open. If the doors are open to Gan Eden, I mean, there's no more flood. With a flood, the doors will still be closed. Please look at the Ramban. Rav Reuven Karelenstein Shlita, he says that as a limud, a lesson for us in this, and that is that the world out there is like the Mabul, and yeshivas are yeshivas like a Gan Eden, right? It's separated from all the garbage out there in the world. That's very nice, but you have to make sure that the doors are closed, hermetically sealed, right? Because even Gan Eden, if the doors would be open, the flood would enter it also. So it's very nice, you know, Gan Eden and everything, but in order to make sure the flood doesn't go into Gan Eden, you got to keep the doors closed. So the yeshiva is the Gan Eden, but the yeshiva has to keep his doors closed. It can't have the Olam Hazeh there seep in. As soon as it seeps in, it can even flood even Gan Eden. And he says, and that extends not only to yeshivas, of course, to homes as well. A person has to keep his homes hermetically sealed from all the bad influences of the outside, the environment, and to prevent the seepage and the effect, even the Gan Eden of the home. Okay, one last idea. It says, the Pasuk says, Ki Yetzer Lev Ha'adam Ra Minu Rav. That the Yetzer Hara of a person is Ra, is bad, evil, from when he's Minu Rav. Rashi says it means from the time of birth. Already the Yetzer Hara enters the person. So the Gemara in Sukkah, Daf Nun Bey, says that the Yetzer Hara has seven names, and the Kadosh Baruch Hu called the Yetzer Hara Ra. And where, as we see, he lays a Yev Adam Ra Minu Rav. So we see in our Sedra, here's a Kadosh Baruch Hu calling the Yetzer Hara Ra. Maybe that's why it's called Yetzer Hara Ra. Anyways, the Saba Minavardak, he gave a mashal and to show how the Yetzer Hara drives people crazy, right? It drives people insane. He gives the following mashal. He says, there's once a guy, and he went into visiting this town, and he had to go to the bathroom. He had to go to the bathroom really badly. And he was looking around for some public bathrooms, whatever, and he couldn't find. He's looking. Meanwhile, it's getting worse, and he's really got to go. So he starts, getting frantic. He starts running around. Yeah. Reminds me of that joke, you know, the guy that he's looking for, he has to go to the bathroom really badly. So he walks into a bank, and he figures he used the bathroom in the bank. So he goes into the bank, and he sees, oh, good, there's the bathroom. So he runs to the bathroom, and he sees the sign, employees only. You know, he had to go so bad, he applied for a job. Anyway, so this guy is running around, starts running, to try to find the bathroom. He's running like crazy, like looking around. So what happens? People look, you see this guy like running through the streets like a madman. He's running. So they said, well, obviously something's doing over here. So people started, running after him, with him, after him, whatever, to see, like they have those candid camera things, everybody's looking up or something, everybody starts looking, there's nothing to look at, everybody's looking, what is he looking at, So everybody kind of joins in, he's running like crazy, he's running for something, away from something, or to something, whatever. So they're running with him, and this one running, and then more and more people start, and more there is, and more of attraction it is. There's more people running, a bunch of people running, and all of a sudden people stop working, leave their stores, and they're running there, and the women are saying, what are all the people running? The day's robbing. But before you know it, the whole town's running after this guy, and he's running crazy, right? So he's running, running, running. Still, he can't find a bathroom. So he sees that, you know, the outskirts of the city, there's like, you know, forest or whatever. He goes, oh, you know, good, I'll go there, whatever. And he's running out, leaving the city, and everybody's whole trail running out, the whole city's running after him. And then finally, he goes, oh, here's a good spot. You know, he gets to do his thing, and, you know, everybody's like watching him. It's like, huh? You know? So he says, that's the same thing. That's the Yetzer Hara. You know, people are running after this, running after that. You know, their taivas and the olam hazer, this and that, whatever. When you run until the end, you're going to see, this is what we're running after. You know, they'll realize that it's ridiculous. This is what we're running after. So also the Chazal say that Yetzer Hara is a melech zaken uksil, he's called. He's old and uksil, stupid. So why is he stupid? He says, they say, because he makes people stupid. Like we said, running after nothing, after shtuyot. So that's the Yetzer Hara. He makes people stupid. Makes them see that they're running after nothing. But the Shem, you should take all the positive lessons from this week's Sedra and internalize them. And Shem gave us the bracha that the Nomer Mabul and made a ospris with us, the keshes. So we should be zoche to lots of bracha and atzlacha. Ad bias kol tzedek b'mehira v'yameinu.